I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Rob Daly. Thanks for downloading the Trans Europe Express podcast. No Danny Kelly this week. Me and Andy Brassel are across the show giving you all the European news. We get through loads of stuff this week. Hamburg finally relegated from the Bundesliga. We discuss Barcelona losing their unbeaten record. We're going to talk lots of transfers, strikers flying around Europe, managers changing jobs as well. And we're going to explain why Arda Turan has been given a 16-match ban. All that and much, much more coming up on the Trans Europe Express podcast.
On digital radio and 1089 and 1053 AM, Trans Europe Express on Talk Sport.
Hello and welcome to this Sunday's edition of Trans Europe Express. I'm Rob Daly, filling in for Danny Kelly this week. I'm joined by European football expert Andy Brassel, who's going to guide us through all the week's continental action. Hamburg have finally been relegated from the Bundesliga. We're going to talk about that chaos in the stands near full time. Barcelona's unbeaten La Liga record comes to an end in a 9-goal thriller. We'll talk Nabil Fekir to Liverpool, why Roberto Mancini is back on the market, and why Arda Turan has been given a 16-game ban. Plus, we'll have your musical homework and our poll. All that and more on the Trans Europe Express. Andy Brassel in the studio.
Hello, how are you?
Very well, mate. No Danny this week. So we can have the studio a little warmer, but we still order cups of tea every 10 minutes in his honour.
I'm sure when we're talking about warmer, I'm surprised you've not got all the windows open after the fire in Hamburg yesterday.
Oh, well, you've got us up and running already, Andy, because Hamburg did get relegated yesterday from the Bundesliga. And we're going to start in Germany, where our headline is Stop the Clock. And for people, I mean, regular listeners will know why that is the headline, but it's probably worth explaining why this is also such a big deal in Germany.
Well, like a lot of people, I wondered whether Hamburg's ever so smug digital clock in the corner of their Volksparkstadion, which ticks away, charting their unbroken stay in the Bundesliga, of course, until yesterday when Wolfsburg won to stay above them. They were the only team to be an ever-present in the Bundesliga since its foundation in 1963.
So not even Bayern, not even Dortmund, not even Schalke, none of those have actually been in it every year.
That's right. It's extraordinary. And that run came to an end yesterday, despite the fact what they won 3 out of the last four out of the last six. Christian Titz has done a tremendous job since he came in as their third coach of the season, but it was too little too late. Everyone wondered, I'm sure, along with me, what happens when they go down? Does the clock malfunction? Or does it simply stop or whatever? It was still ticking.
They just left it on.
After full time.
Turn it off, boys.
It's like I'm too upset. I can't turn the clock off. It's my job, but I'm not going to do
Maybe
it.
Maybe they're saying technically we're still in the Bundesliga until next season starts. But
until the fixtures come out for the Bundesliga
until
side.
The fixtures come. But 55 years in the top flight, they're gone. Mm-hmm. To put it into context for people, this is a team that's won 3 Bundesliga titles and one of the German clubs with the European Cup
in the trophy cabinet. And it's such a big deal over there.
Yeah, the first thing that anyone ever said to me when I visited Hamburg as an adult was...
As an adult?
You're from England. Well, I visited there as a child, but I can't remember it very well.
I imagine
well.
You went on your own with a little suitcase and one of those knapsacks on your shoulder like Pingu. That's what I sort of imagine getting on a plane.
That is pretty much it. But I remember someone coming up to me and going, you're from England. Oh, yes, Kevin Keegan. The women here still love him.
Well, it's good that he's remembered.
It is good that he's remembered. Well. But I think that sort of gives a hint to what a huge club they were. I mean, you know, he was European Footballer of the Year.
And absolutely right.
Hamburg went and got him.
Yeah, and they actually won. I mean, yesterday they did win 2-1 against Gladbach, ruining Gladbach's chances of qualifying for Europe. And I was commentating on the game yesterday, Andy, and the general feeling was... because of Christian Titz and the jobs he's done since he's come in, that there was actually a bit of a feel-good atmosphere around the place, even though relegation was near certain.
I mean, that's the extraordinary thing, isn't it, really, Rob, about this Bundesliga battle for the bottom, which I know you've been following very closely, you've been out there most weeks. It's the fact that if you look at the bottom two have gone, Köln and Hamburg, two absolutely enormous clubs. And it's going to make the Bundesliga Zwei a must-watch next season, I think. And it would be a big surprise if both those two didn't bounce back. They feel pretty good about themselves, despite the fact that they've gone down. Whereas Wolfsburg, who are third bottom, are going into this playoff that they would expect to win, I think. They play the first leg against Holstein Kiel on Thursday. Now, Holstein Kiel are a team that were in the third tier last season, so they're going for a second successive promotion. I do think Wolfsburg will get it over the line, but by the same token, the atmosphere there is awful, and they've got a shot at redemption.
Well, the atmosphere there was bad, but we have to talk about what happened in the stands at Hamburg as well, because people may have seen the pictures on social media, maybe on TV as well, of the ultras, and a particular group of the ultras at the Hamburg end, in a minute into added time, letting off fireworks, throwing flares onto the pitch, lots of loud banging sounds.
Smoke bombs.
And there was about how many riot police ran onto the pitch? It looked like 300 police dogs. It was just, it looked like absolute chaos.
It looked like that bit, after a couple of minutes when you had these rows of, a row of stewards, row of police with dogs, and then a row of police horses in this sort of triumvirate. And then just in front of them, in front of the north stand, you had this huge plume of black smoke. It's like when the stormtroopers sack Luke's aunt and uncle's house. It was like that, really, wasn't
Very
it?
Very similar. That's what they were going for.
Without the bodies, fortunately.
Well, we're going to put the video up on our Twitter account, at Rob T. Daily, at Andy Brassel as well. And they did actually finish. The referee was up. We're playing this added time. We're waiting. We waited 16 minutes.
He did a pro job, didn't he?
And then there was a goal kick and he blew the whistle. So I don't know what any of that was about. But Hamburg are down. We've got to move on to Bayern quickly. Already champions. They lifted the Meisterschale, the trophy, the shield, actually, in Germany yesterday. But they lost at home in Jupp Heynckes' last home game in charge. What happened?
That's right. Well, they were facing a Stuttgart team that badly wanted to win, that they had a chance of getting into Europe, obviously helped by the fact that Mönchengladbach lost that game at Hamburg. It was quite a tight race for the Europa League. It was a tight race for the Champions League, which we'll come to in a minute. But... Stuttgart went at it from the off. They survived the Corentin Tolisso equaliser and came back. And I think if you look at the performance in the Rückrunde, the second half of the season, the only team who got more points than Stuttgart was Bayern.
It's crazy, isn't it?
It's absolutely extraordinary. When you bear in mind that they sacked a very, very successful, very popular coach in Hannes Wolf, who came out of that Borussia Dortmund Brains Trust, and they appointed Tafen Korkut, who excited no one. And
in the end, I thought it was a huge mistake.
Exactly, and in the end, it's turned out a bit like when Allegri went to Juventus, hasn't it? Whereas people thought, "Oh, this guy must be about the eighth choice," and he's turned out to be great. He's been
absolutely
fantastic.
If Bayern win the cup, Stuttgart go into the Europa League.
Well, yeah, Korkut did say he was going to enjoy the cup final with a nice glass of wine. Well, he would do, because Bayern are going to win it and they're going to get into Europe.
Well, quite. And also this week it's been confirmed Robben, Ribery.
We've all done that, Rob.
And Rafinha, my God, have all signed new contracts to Bayern. So a nice little bit of news for them there as well. We've got to talk about Hoffenheim, Andy. Mm. How on earth have they got in the Champions League? Because they were way off the pace. and they've actually finished above Borussia Dortmund in the end.
Yeah, and again, it's been a tremendous last couple of months for them. Serge Gnabry, who fired so much of it, he was watching from the stands yesterday against Dortmund because he's got an injury that really pretty much ends his chances of getting to the World Cup, which is a real shame because he had 7 goals in 7 games and he was making a good late run towards the squad. Of course, he'll be doing some good stuff for Bayern, I think, next season when he goes back there. But Bayern are the key word, really, because they took away all of Hoffenheim's spine. Süle, Rudi, and then again Sandro Wagner at Christmas. And what they've done is just been extraordinary. I mean, they're going to have to go through it again because Marc Uth is going off to
top
Schalke.
Scorer this season, yeah.
That's right. So it's going to be tough. But I think what Nagelsmann's done is so much more impressive. It's not just because they've finished a place higher, but the fact that they've lost so much, that's coped with European football for the first time. And yes, it has been to do with the shortcomings of others, notably Borussia Dortmund,
who they beat yesterday. To pip to third spot in the end. Dortmund did scrape the Champions League.
On goal difference.
And we're going to talk about Julian Nagelsmann later because we're going to talk about all the managers sort of doing the rounds in Europe this summer. But for Dortmund, they definitely will have a new head coach. Peter Stöger said after the game, it was my last game. We decided it ages ago, and he was never going to stay, was he? Really?
No, it was an open secret that he was going. Yeah. But I think you can say Dortmund are in a mess. I think we should have a minute where we say for Peter Stöger, actually, he did an okay job because he did a globally brilliant job.
But not
at
the
Cologne.
Right guy, right?
I mean, not long term.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
The short term job he did was fantastic because bear in mind they're in eighth place and in an absolute mess when he took over. Job to get them into the top four. They're a bit ugly to watch, especially with so many good players, of course. But he made them difficult to beat. Things went a bit awry in the last couple of weeks, but he did just about get them over the line. He gets a €2 million bonus for getting them into the Champions League.
Oh, that's
as well.
Not bad. Do you know he loves coffee? He's a big coffee guy. Did you know this?
Yeah, well, he's from Vienna. Of course he is.
So in that game, Hoffenheim beat Borussia Dortmund 3-1. There were some mad results, like Leipzig winning 6-2 at Hertha Berlin. They get Leipzig into the Europa League. Ah, that actually goes nicely into something Liverpool fans will be interested in, because this has saved Liverpool a load of money. So why is that?
Because of course, Leipzig didn't get in the Champions League. Now, it means that they pay €7 million less than if Leipzig had have qualified for the Champions League.
For Naby Keita,
who's very tearful at the end.
Can you explain? So why would they structure it like that? What is the logic behind Leipzig doing that at all? Adding some unnecessary quiz show element to the fee?
Essentially, it's that Liverpool wanted him so badly, they thought, let's see what we can get you to do. Well, you know, go to the shop and get me a can of drink. Oh, and I want some crisps with that as well.
Oh, by the way, someone else who will be on Merseyside from Leipzig potentially next season, Ademola Lookman. Mm. He's been doing it again. I mean, do you think Everton are going to want to, whoever's in charge next season, be it Allardyce or someone else, is going to want to look at Lookman and not immediately? Because I know clubs in Germany are going to want to sign him again on loan if they can.
Leipzig have already said, we want him. We want him permanently.
Yeah, yeah.
And he seems to have really enjoyed it there. Of course, he really pushed for that move. The question is, will they be able to afford it? We know they're well backed, but they don't spend masses on transfers. They go for young players. Of course, he fits that profile. But on the other hand, he's from the English Premier League, which makes him hellishly expensive already. And of course, that you've got the thing where Yannick Bolasie has struggled a little bit to find his very best form since he's come back from injury. So whoever takes the Everton job, if indeed Sam Allardyce doesn't stay on, would be crazy not to try him out. We should say, before we leave Hertha versus Leipzig, maybe the thing that put Hertha's players off, they had this whole Deadpool theme, didn't they, for the
day. Andy, you've got to do this. Yeah, so what was going on? I just saw a photo of one of the Hertha players high-fiving Deadpool.
Well, inevitably, it was Solomon Kalou.
Of course.
But yeah, basically, they had the German premiere the night before for Deadpool 2. So Ryan Reynolds and a couple of the other actors, one who's from Josh Brolin was there, and one of the others in the film who's from Berlin said, let's go to Hertha. I'll take you to Hertha.
Well, 8 goals isn't bad, is it? Hertha Berlin's normally 0-0, so that's not too bad. They got spoiled there.
Yeah, they've done okay.
They've done okay. Andy, Frankfurt could miss out on Europe. That's the other thing as well. They've dropped to 8th. They need to win the cup finals to qualify for Europe. Nika Kovac, things have gone wrong since it was announced he's the Bayern head coach. But we need your star of the week. you remember who it is? Because the pre-production meeting, you couldn't remember any of your stars of the week.
This is an easy
one.
It's got to be Tavon Corker. Like I say, so negative reaction when he was given the Stuttgart job. And I think we can say it's 90% certain that he's got Stuttgart into Europe. And, of course, he's got Mario Gomez back as well. And they are pushing the Gomez button left, right and centre over the last couple of weeks.
And if you don't know what Andy's talking about, Google the Mario Gomez button. Next, we've got this week's poll. We have the music homework. We're doing that, even though Danny's not here. And we're crossing over to Spain. Brassel is absolutely loving this. Get down, Paul Johnson. And it's because we're asking for songs of this theme, down or drop, because of the relegation for Hamburg this week. Why do you like this so much, Andy? You're actually rocking in your chair. You look mad.
That is the done thing here on Trans Europe Express.
Oh, that was dancing.
Chair dancing. Okay. That's what it's all about.
That's pretty good.
I like the way West Ham fans made this a chant for Denver Bar, didn't they?
Can you do it to the tune?
I'm getting ready.
Do we have to wait for the... Waiting a long time now, Andy. Oh, that's good.
The Newcastle fans changed it to some other tune, which I didn't like at all.
Keep them coming in, songs with drop or down in them. At TalkSport, tweet us with your suggestions or text 81089. I'm going to get all the admin right tonight. Don't worry about it, guys. And you can get involved in our poll at TalkSport. Who is the best player not to have won the Ballon d'Or? Then we have four suggestions. Andres Iniesta, Paolo Maldini, Xavi, Thierry Henry. Andy, what did you go with?
Xavi.
Why? Xavi, 11%. He's bottom of the poll. You're clearly wrong. That's what the public think.
I find that extraordinary. Of course, Andres Iniesta has got the, you know, zeitgeist bump.
He's ahead right now, 39%.
There's no way Iniesta should get this ahead.
I will say, there was a poll, I think it was at the turn of the century, that was like, what are the 100 best albums of all time? And at the time, that because it's so in what's in people's minds, I think Robbie Williams' Life Through a Lens finished fifth.
Really?
In the greatest albums. I mean, it's a great album.
It's not even his fifth best album, is it?
Life Through a Lens, I'd say it's got to be up there. It's got to be up. Your thoughts. 81089. Andy, we've got to go to Spain, mate. What's the headline? Are you loving it? Can you do your own headline for this one?
Yeah, of course.
You really had to fight to get this one through, didn't you?
I did, and I think it's worth it.
Okay.
Mes que una manita.
Of course, I understand that perfectly, but can you just explain for people?
Barcelona, they have there on the seats, don't they? Mes que un club, mm-hmm. more than a club. Well, a manita in Spain is where you concede five goals.
Oh, perfect, because that's what they did today.
Yeah.
And they lost 5-4 at Levante, losing what was going to be the first ever unbeaten La Liga season with two games to go. And no one saw this coming.
No, they didn't. And what was the extraordinary thing is I thought I was going to lose this brilliant headline when they pulled it back to from 5-1 to
5-4. That's all you cared
four.
About.
It is all I cared about, really. But, you know, I think you still have to put it in perspective and say there's the fact that they won the league without losing any games. They got through El Clasico, at which point they thought, oh, we're home and host. We can go 38 unbeaten here. But Levante have been really good over the last month or so, really good. So it may seem an extraordinary thing that they've lost there, but they've pulled some results out of the bag. And
Levante, were 5-1 up at one point as well, Levante. And
they broke nervy. They broke brilliantly at the start of the second half because, of course, it was 2-1 at half time, and then they got that to 5 before the hour, didn't they?
Yeah.
And some really good counter-attacking goals. I mean, notably, I think a hat-trick goal by Manuel Boateng was absolutely
and Coutinho scored a hat-trick in this game. Two deflected goals, but that thing where he cuts in onto his right foot. Mm. Like, they haven't learnt it in Spain yet, that if he's on the edge of the box, He will drop his shoulder, go onto his right foot, and then shoot.
They're probably going, oh, that's all right, lads. He's replacing Iniesta. I think he's going to play further back.
Exactly, yeah. So Barcelona did lose. They had chances to win the game. And Andy, the discussion is that doubles won. They've won, you know, they won the double.
Mm-hmm.
But they've got Real Madrid maybe on the brink of winning the Champions League. They lost embarrassingly to Roma. And now this, that record that maybe would have been something to cling to. Is the season ending with a bit of a downer here for Barcelona?
They're going the full Paris Saint-Germain.
Yeah, that's very true.
Aren't they? Yeah. I mean, I know we're going to talk about the Griezmann story later. I think the Griezmann story is a timely reminder of the fact that things haven't changed that much at Barcelona. Upstairs, it's still a bit of a circus. And I think Valverde, and of course his players, have papered over a lot of cracks this season. I mean, we've talked about it before. If we're honest and we go back to the start of the season, no one picked Barcelona to win the league, let alone to win it by a decent stretch.
No, when they got spanked in the Spanish Super Cup, no one thought by Real Madrid.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. And I think the fact that Real Madrid had this autumn regression was obviously part of it as well. But what Valverde's done is an absolutely super job. Of course, the fact that what was going on upstairs and, of course, off the field with the political climate in Catalonia, it kind of left him alone to get on with it. Like, people weren't really analysing it. I don't think anyone talked about Barcelona's tactics until Christmas.
No, and he'll
really
be grateful for that, because it wasn't... It would be fair to say it wasn't a Barcelona... typical Barcelona way of playing.
It's been 4-4-2 for most of the season.
Yeah.
And he's been able to get on with it. I mean, you have to say, if you're winning, there's not necessarily that cultural resistance anyway. I mean, you know, we can talk about what Barcelona are. Are they more than a club anymore? Or have they changed?
Like every other club, don't
yeah,
they?
Have they changed? No, I think they have changed. And what they mean politically and philosophically is less of a deal, certainly globally, isn't it? Because I think that was the thing, when you saw all that stuff at the start of the season, like where they played the game against Las Palmas behind closed doors, for example,
yeah.
There were people who come from all over the world who were like, well, you know, I've flown 6 hours to see this,
and yeah.
now I can't get in. Now, of course, there's something much more important going on, you know, the actual real life. But I think it was just... seeing those people on various news and sports programs was a reminder of the fact that Barcelona have changed. That, you know, there's something that they meant something institutionally and politically. They still do, I suppose, but they mean something else because they're this great big global entity that belongs to the world.
Yeah, absolutely right. So Barcelona beaten. They, of course, have already won the title. They're still 12 clear of Atletico. But let's talk about Real Madrid, because we're getting close to the Champions League final now, a couple of weeks away from it. Ronaldo didn't play at the weekend in a 6-0 win over Celta Vigo.
Mm.
Gareth Bale did play. He scored twice. His second goal was exceptional.
Stunning.
Down by the corner flag, cutting onto his left foot out of nowhere and then just hooned it in the top corner.
Mm.
So Gareth Bale to start the Champions League final, Andy.
Not
discuss.
Happening.
Why not?
Well, I've seen people say, well, maybe this changes Zidane's thinking. No, it doesn't.
Even he said it. Is he just being cute?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, we know how much he values Gareth Bale. That doesn't mean he's going to start him in this game. I think we know that he sticks with Karim Benzema. Cristiano Ronaldo, obviously, it's not even a discussion. I think he goes with pretty much the same team, if available, that he did for last year's Champions League final, which is unprecedented continuity for a club like Real Madrid, isn't it? And it's extraordinary. The climate that an atmosphere that he's created there is unbelievable. But yeah, I think you have to take this over Celta Vigo with a pinch of salt.
Do you see Bale coming back here, though, as well? Do you see Bale coming?
Leaving in the summer?
Yeah.
Perhaps. I think it's partly governed by what sort of market there is for him. He's a bit of an on-field Antonio Conte, really, in the fact that they probably feel it's time for him to go. I get that impression.
I thought you meant about the hair.
Steady. But I think they've got to find someone to take him, because it's a huge commitment in terms of transfer fee and in terms of wages and length of contract. And for a guy who's phenomenal, one of the very best players in the world on his day, but he has had a lot of fitness problems.
Yeah, Yeah, you can't get 40 games out of him, can you, really? So and I suppose that comes into effect for any Premier League club that thinks is thinking of signing him. It's tough to build a team around him, isn't it? Because you don't know.
And the Premier League's more physically taxing.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. So Real Madrid, third at the moment in La Liga.
And will remain third because of the head-to-head, they can't get above Atletico.
Yeah,
Atletico, who won 1-0 in Getafe at the sort of Madrid derby. It's the furthest stop away on the metro, Getafe.
It counts.
Yeah, it's like they're essentially the Cock Fosters of Madrid. basically, because Atleti chiseled out one of their trademark 1-0 wins there, and they've got the better head-to-head record over Real Madrid, they will finish second.
Okay, Andy, we've got to get into your favourite derby in Spain.
Oh, yeah. My favourite derby anywhere.
And a significant one as well, because it was all about Europa League qualification. So this is El Gran Derby, right?
Yes.
In Seville, between Betis and Sevilla.
As good as it
gets. Why is this so good? This isn't better than a Clásico or a...
Oh, but it's a derby. It's not a Clásico. It's a derby, which is different and quite distinct. And I think most football-following people in Spain would tell you this is as good as derby.
Atmosphere did look amazing on the highlights of this game.
It didn't. It always is.
It's a 2-2 between them.
You've got two teams sharing a city that holds about 400,000 people in its metropolitan area. You've got two teams that can fill 50,000 stadiums. It's incredible. It's like Newcastle and Sunderland being in the same city. It's the intensity is unbelievable. And, you know, when one team goes to the other ground, the supporters, and they're not a lot of travelling supporters, they undertake the 4-kilometre walk by foot together with various fireworks and drinks and all that to make it go with the swing. But amazingly, everyone ended up happy at the end of this because you had Betis, who'd already qualified for Europe, and they were celebrating that in front of their fans. They got a late equaliser. And Sevilla, who looked like they were going to miss Europe altogether, they fired Vincenzo Montella. They went back to the future to bring in Joaquin Caparrós, who was there in 2003 last. So he predates Juan de Ramos and the whole Gran Sevilla era. Sure. So he's come back in with, it's fair to say, a very different style of football. I think one of his key players was Pablo Alfaro, who was known for his rectal probes at corners.
Sorry?
I mean, honestly, he was something else. So that was a different era of Sevilla. It wasn't about ball players back then. So Caparrós coming back in, and in a week, he's got them a draw in the derby, a win over Real Madrid, a win over Real Sociedad last Friday. He's got them back into
Europe.
Job
done. Job done.
Is incredibly good.
Andy, very quickly, we're going to have to do Star of the Week.
The Star of the Week, it has to be Xabi Prieto, the retiring Xabi Prieto of Real Sociedad, who, as you were pointing out to me earlier, they replaced on their shirt, Real Sociedad, the club crest with a sort of weird Facebooky picture of his face.
A lovely gesture, Andy. No?
That's a bit weird.
No, it was a bit weird, yeah. A bit too much, wasn't it?
Still, Xabi Prieto, what a player he's been for them.
There we go. That is your Star of the Week in Spain. Up next on Trans-Europe Express, we're talking Fekir and Balotelli as we head over to Ligue 1.
Pimps in the crib, ma. Drop it like it's hot. Drop it like it's hot. Drop it like it's hot. When the pigs try to get it.
Bangers only on the Trans Europe Express this week. Snoop Dogg, Drop It Like It's Hot. Looking for songs with drop or down in the title because Hamburg are down at last in the Bundesliga. Keep them coming into us on the show. It's at TalkSport on Twitter, or you can text us 81089. And have you seen the Defiant ones, on Netflix?
Yes, yes, I've started watching that.
Oh, it's so good.
It's super fun, isn't it?
I actually re-watched it. The story, it's that good.
Really?
Yeah, so good.
You see, because I'm faithful to European football at show, on Sport 2 and Trans Europe Express principles. I forgot what show I was on there for a second.
That's how loyal you were. You forgot what show you were doing.
I've been rewatching a bit of Gomorrah.
Oh, mate, I need to get into that. I need to get into that as
but
well.
But you know what? We're not in Serie A yet, so let's talk fast.
True. Snoop Dogg, Drop It Like It's Hot.
Think before you pick a little skateboard B.
When the pimp's in the crib, ma, drop it like it's hot. Drop it like it's hot.
Ben in Buckingham requesting that one. Keep them coming in at TalkSport. Don't forget to get involved in the poll as well. That's on at Twitter, at TalkSport on Twitter. Andy, we are going to Ligue 1 now. And the headline for France is 5 minutes that changed everything. Why have you gone with that?
Well, in L'Equipe, they put it as the 3 minutes that changed everything. When it went from Strasbourg 2, Lyon 2, and Monaco 0. Saint-Étienne 0 to a Lyon defeat and a Monaco win. But it actually started earlier than that. Like with 2 minutes of normal time, minute and a half of normal time to go in Strasbourg versus Lyon. Lyon winning 2-1. Monaco drawing with Saint-Étienne. And of course, Marseille dropped points on Friday night. They got to advance their game.
Lyon are loving it.
Ahead of the Europa League final. They're qualifying, barring a mathematical miracle in terms of goal difference. Directly for the Champions League in second place. Then they concede an equaliser in the 89th minute at Strasbourg. And then the free kick to end all free kicks was absolutely magnificent by Dimitri Lienard.
So they conceded twice in the last 2 minutes lose the game.
Yeah.
Against Strasbourg, who...
We've not won since February.
Perfect. I bet they were delighted.
And Lyon were on 8 successive wins. I mean,
the saving grace, Andy, surely, is that Monaco didn't win. Monaco were drawing, weren't they?
Stoppage time penalty from Fabinho. So, essentially, in these 5 minutes and changed everything, there was a 5-point swing between Lyon and Monaco. Monaco now in second place. Lyon third, just a point ahead of Marseille. And as you pointed out to me, it could be the worst week ever Lyon. If they were to drop out the top three, with Marseille still able to catch them, Lyon play Nice on the final day and Marseille play Amiens. But in between that, Marseille, who've been singing lots of songs about this in the last couple of weeks, are playing the Europa League final at Lyon, their hated rivals, and could win a European trophy if they beat Atletico Madrid home of their rivals.
Why do they hate each other so much, Andy?
Well, mainly because they're two big clubs. Mainly because Marseille believe that Lyon are very bourgeois. And there's a little bit of that. And there's also the fact that in the other direction, that Lyon believe that Marseille are rather arrogantly trading off former glories. Again, I think there's a bit of right on both sides. They're both quite pompous.
But you have would you say you have a slight Lyon bias?
Me?
Deep down, Andy, deep down in yourself.
I've never hidden it. But on the other hand, I think we have to congratulate or express our disgust in terms of both clubs and the sheer poison of their rivalry in recent weeks, which has escalated since the game they played at the Velodrome, which Lyon won in stoppage time through Memphis Depay. There was a huge tunnel ruck at the end. And there were ramifications of that, 10 days ago now, with suspensions being handed down to Adil Rami of Marseille, to Anthony Lopez, the goalkeeper of Lyon, who's key for them. I mean, he's the best goalkeeper in the division.
Yeah.
And basically, what happened is this escalated in the week because Marseille complained that the suspensions that Lyon had received weren't long enough. So basically, it went to the appeal commission. Anthony Lopez's suspension was extended from 3 matches to 5. Marcelo, who their central defensive rock, who had a 2-game ban, which was suspended though, so he would have been still able to play this weekend, was given a 1-match ban, so he missed this game at the weekend, and so was his potential replacement, Mukhtar Diakabi. So all of a sudden, Lyon's struggling for centre-backs for this big game against Strasbourg. What Lyon do is then they pull a stroke back, saying, well, what we're going to do is we're going to take Diakabi, not the other ones, but just Diakabi, to the Superior Appeals Commission. So what that means is, because that doesn't meet until Tuesday, Diakabi can play this weekend.
Oh, so he played, but they still lost.
Well, I thought, ha-ha, we've got you now. We've got a proper centre back to play, not knowing that he'd make errors on all three of the goals.
Oh, perfect.
I mean, we talked about the majesty of that Leonard free kick, but it was Diakabi who gave away the free kick right on the edge of the penalty area. That's what made it so good. You've got to YouTube it. The fact that it was right on the edge of the area and left footer got up over, curled right in the top corner. Perfect. But Strasbourg, it meant that they stayed up. And they've come back from absolutely nowhere. I mean, yep. they've done a wonderful job to get where they are on a very small budget. Got the right coach in Thierry Laurier at the start of the season, who knows about fighting for relegation. And it was a terrific atmosphere at the Meno as they stayed up. And Lille as well have stayed up. I mean, they've looked completely sunk for a couple of months.
Yeah.
They've won three games in a row. And here they are, staying up.
We got to talk about one other Lyon story, and that is Nabil Fekir.
Yes.
Because Liverpool fans will have been getting excited over the past week or so because he's been heavily linked with the move to Liverpool. Is it the right club for Nabil Fekir, do you think? Because he's been linked with Arsenal previously, which is a deal I understand more. Because one of my favourite partnerships in recent years is Lacazette Fekir from Lyon.
They work telepathically.
Yeah.
My only question is, how does that work when you've already got Mkhitaryan and Ozil? I don't think it does work. Maybe I suppose that would be the play. If we give up on having any defensive midfielders, let's just whack a load of playmakers in there and see how it goes. Of course, if you're going with two up as well, and again, it would make more sense if Aubameyang wasn't there. Fekir is a good second striker.
So where does he fit in Liverpool then?
Well, he doesn't fit in a 4-3-3. That's the weird thing, I think. Unless you're going hyper-offensive and he's got some sort of number 10 role behind that.
Second striker, right? Because some people wouldn't have seen Fekir.
That's right. Fekir is someone who can dribble, pass and shoot and accelerate. So a lot of people, I understand, like look at him and maybe seen a little bit of him and think he's a winger or he can play wide. He can't play wide. And he doesn't like to play wide, and he won't have playing wide. So the idea that he could directly replace Coutinho is incorrect. The idea that he could somehow fit into that 4-3-3, I don't think is quite right either. He's looked a lot worse when they've tried to fit him into the 4-3-3, and that's why Lyon looked best playing 4-4-2, because it suits him down to the ground. He plays behind the two. Recently it's been Memphis and Bertrand Traore, who's had a good couple of weeks for Lyon. So he's a wonderful player who's shown his leadership qualities this season. Quite how he fits with Liverpool, I'm not quite sure. Then again, I thought Mo Salah was a superfluous signing.
Did you really?
Yeah. I thought they're fine. They've got enough attacking players. They'll be all right, won't they?
Yeah, don't listen to Andy Bressler. That's the moral of the story. Let's talk about players who, you know, in the Premier League had mixed fortunes, I think it'd be fair to say. Mario Balotelli, he's still ripping it up in France.
Yeah, he is. 41 goals in 64 Ligue 1 games for Nice. And that will probably be his last home game that he plays in Ligue 1 for Nice yesterday, where he scored twice, two opening goals. Including one of those really clean Balotelli hits. I mean, he's such a clean striker of the ball, isn't he? To help them beat Caen. And they're still in with a shot of getting in the Europa League. Of course, they do have to go to Lyon, who have to win that game next week to make sure they're in the Champions League. So that'll be interesting. Maybe a way for Ballo to go out with a bang in France.
Well, where's he going, Andy?
There has been speculation linking him with Marseille next season. I mean,
that
would put him in the good books, wouldn't it? I mean, if he knocks Lyon out of the Champions League and then ends up at Marseille.
Absolutely. And Florian Thauvin, among the goals again, he's obviously preparing for the Europa League final.
What a season he has had. Extraordinary.
Extraordinary. Thiago Motta, we've got to talk about Thiago Motta very quickly, Andy.
Ruining his own party.
Yeah, because he's retiring. He's becoming a youth coach, right, at Paris Saint-Germain.
Yeah, he is. And received wisdom is that he's going to be a terrific coach. You know, he already thinks like a coach, as Unai Emery says, or part of that is he's so slow, he's got a bit of time to think about things as the game passes him by. Even though he has been a wonderful player there's no doubt about it. I mean,
sure.
His whole credo has been keep the ball, and if someone gets past you, just flatten them. I mean, that has been him at Paris Saint-Germain. It's worked for him superbly well, especially when he was with Matuidi and Verratti. But he played his final home game for Paris Saint-Germain.
And they lost.
At home to Rennes. It's the first time they've lost at home in 26 months. Rennes have qualified for the Europa League off the back of that, which is a tremendous effort for them. They've undergone a lot of restructuring on and off the pitch in the last 6 months, 8 months. And Motta sort of poisoned his own well by giving away the penalty that gave him the opening goal.
I think it's the way he would have wanted to go, don't you think?
Exactly. I mean, if he doesn't get a meaningful foul in there, what's the point?
Andy, very, very quickly, star of the week. Who was that again for France?
You know, I should give it to Dimitri Leonard for that wonderful free kick, but you know what? Balotelli, we'll miss him when he's left France.
Yeah, absolutely right. Okay, let's remind you of the poll at TalkSport on Twitter. Who is the best player not to have won the Ballon d'Or? Is it Andres Iniesta, Paolo Maldini, Xavi or Thierry Henry? Iniesta still winning that at the moment at TalkSport on Twitter. Next up, we've got to go to Italy on Trans-Europe Express. Songs about drop or down after Hamburg's relegation on Trans-Europe Express with me, Rob Daly, and Andy Brassel. Maytales, pressure drop, and Andy, this is an ode. This is for Danny Kelly, who's in our hearts.
This is for Danny Kelly.
Why is that?
Well, it's right up his street, isn't it? It's off the soundtrack of The Harder They Come.
Oh, right, okay.
The Jimmy Cliff film.
Quite a few people have sent this one in. Keep them coming in at TalkSport. Or tweet or text us 81089 songs with drop or down in. Serie A next, Andy Brassel. We have champions, our headline this week. Everything is black and white. And why is that?
Because Juventus closed it out in Rome.
Are we bored of this now, Juve winning everything? Are we bored of it, Andy?
Well, I think a lot of people are, aren't they? Because there was such a groundswell of support from people who follow this show, from people who follow our show on TalkSport 2.
Stop mentioning your show. You're not supposed to.
It's all on brand. about wanting Napoli to win. There's so many people who got in touch with us and have been in touch with us here wanted Napoli to win. I think part of that is the romance of Sarri's Napoli, but also it's people like a change, don't they? I mean, some people like a good like era of domination, but most people like
seventh title in a row.
Mixed up a little bit, don't they?
Yeah, and
it's just we were teased, weren't we? We felt at various
it's the
points
hope that kills you.
That exactly that Napoli was so close, especially after that win at the Allianz a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, 2 or 3 weeks ago.
And then it all went wrong after that. I mean, it's something that Raul Albiola said after the game last night, after the game tonight. And of course, while Juventus were getting that point they needed at Roma, and Napoli were winning 2-0 at Sampdoria, which is not to be sniffed at, because they're really good at home, Sampdoria, yeah. And they're a really attractive team, Marco Giampaolo's side. So, you know, that... Raul Albiol, who scored the second goal, who's been immense for them this season, said, well, we know we let it all go in Florence. And that is the moment where it all went. You
the
know,
early red card for Koulibaly.
I mean, that is the whole... That is hero to zero in a nutshell, isn't it? From that last-minute winner.
From actual about 7 minutes of game time.
Yeah, 7 minutes
really?
Of game
that
time,
goal at
exactly.
The end of the Juve game and then sending off early on. So Roma and Juve played out a 0-0 draw. Thrilling. Red card for Nainggolan as well in that game.
Which is quite apt because he's made no bones about the fact that he absolutely hates Juventus.
Has he really? In what context?
In an Instagram and Twitter context, mainly.
That is my favourite.
Surely you've seen that bit of footage where he's stopped by a fan. No. He said that the whole reason I signed for Roma is because I really hate Juventus. And I really want to beat them.
Well, he got sent off. But Roma won't really care about this because... They're in the Champions League.
They'd already qualified for the Champions League thanks to Inter's stunning loss to Sassuolo on Saturday night. So Sassuolo, we have to say, have done a brilliant job before we get into Inter, because they were staring down the barrel a couple of weeks ago. They put a really good mini run of results together, and it all started actually with a draw with Napoli, which kind of opened the door for Juventus.
Sure. So Juve champions once again. Let's talk quickly about Napoli. And, you know, I've seen some things about Napoli have blown it. I don't really feel like that's the case.
Because they've got the fifth budget in the league.
Yeah. They have ridiculously overachieved.
They have.
And the criticism is, and I think we've had it on this show before, is that he didn't rotate the front line enough in Mertens, Cahill and Insigne, which, you know, was doing similar things perhaps to what Salah and Mane and Firmino were doing for Liverpool.
And I think if you look at their numbers, I think that bears that out.
Did he not? Was it depth, or did he just not trust the other guys that he had?
I think it's a question of flexibility, really. The fact that Alec Milik, who scored tonight again and scored some important goals in the running, is such a different type of striker. And he was out for so long. Of course, he had two long spells out with knee injuries that almost, I felt that Sarri didn't really know how to use him. And the rest of the team didn't really know how to play to him because they only ever played one way. You know, that tap, 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 pass and move.
So should they have signed someone? I mean, Sarri knew this in the summer. Why didn't they sign another guy who could have more slotted into that front three?
I don't know if they got the transfer window wrong, although a little bit unfortunate. They thought they had Amin Younes. From Ajax before he got cold feet. And he's still trying to get out of that, it seems. I mean, imagine wanting to go to Wolfsburg instead of Napoli, for goodness sakes. No offence, Wolfsburg fans, but come on.
What do you mean, no offence? You just offended them. That's what you just did. You can't say something offensive and then say no offence.
Don't tweet in and say the calzone is excellent in Wolfsburg. It isn't.
It isn't.
But the other one was Matteo Politano. They had a €26 million deal agreed for him. Mm. And then a bit of a paperwork fudge, as Napoli claim, at the Sassuolo end, meant that didn't go through. De Laurentiis, the owner, said afterwards, well, I didn't really want to spend $26 million on him anyway. It probably worked out for the best. You know, you do wonder, maybe there was a sense of reticence on his part because he's said in recent weeks, I signed the players. If Sally doesn't rotate, it's not my problem.
All right, yeah.
You know, so I don't know if he's like maybe backing off him a little bit because it looks more likely that he might leave.
Yes,
I think the rotation criticism, I understand to a point, but they haven't got the squad where you can rotate hugely enough. I mean, you know, when they were down to the bones, they have, what, Adam Unas, who's come across
and
from
And with Juve
Bordeaux.
In Serie A, you have to win every week.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you do lose them.
It's a relentless pressure. The interesting thing with Politano, of course, is that it's been the best $26 million that Sassuolo ever lost because he went on to score inevitably against Napoli.
Of course.
But a raft of other important goals, including the first one in the San Siro against Inter, which could have huge implications for the Nerazzurri's future.
Well, let's talk about Inter because they're not very good. I know that's not the best piece of analysis.
No, they're really not. And even when they were getting the results, Rob, they look pretty disjointed
to me. So
they're
fifth, 3 points off the Champions League place behind Lazio in fourth.
I mean, fortunately for them, because Lazio didn't win in Crotone today, when Crotone battling against the drop, it was an absolutely thrilling game with Sergei Milinkovic-Savic scoring an equaliser near the end. And Crotone have pulled out some big results and still not clear of danger. It means that Lazio Inter on the last day of the season, Inter go there. If they win because of head to head, they qualify for the Champions
League. So, not goal difference, Serie A. We go head to head.
Goal difference.
Because there is a gap between them. Only if
the head to head is level, goal difference comes into play.
Right.
So, that's something. Well, it would be great revenge for Inter because, you know, when you go back to 2002. When they still had Ronaldo, of course,
and
Christian Vieri and all the rest of it, they had to go there and close out to win Serie A for the first time in ages. Lazio beat them 4-2.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Finding your perfect home was hard, but thanks to Burrow, furnishing it has never been easier. Burrow's easy-to-assemble modular sofas and sectionals are made from premium, durable materials, including stain and scratch-resistant fabrics. So they're not just comfortable and stylish, they're built to last. Plus, every single Burrow order ships free right to your door. Right now, get 15% off your first order at burrow.com/ACAST. That's 15% off at burrow.com/ACAST.
on the final day of the season. Poor Ronaldo cried his eyes out before obviously going on to win the World Cup. And then go to Real Madrid.
So quickly, who is going to join Roma, Napoli and Juve in the Champions League, do you think? One game to go in Italy, of course, and that big one.
I think it'll be Inter, simply because Lazio have had bridesmaid written over them all season.
Oh, you just give me a load of reasons why it wouldn't be Inter. And now you're saying it's going to be Inter.
Well, you know what? We've said they're disjointed, but they've still got Icardi. They've still got Perisic. They've got Jan Karamoa to come off the bench, for goodness sakes.
And Icardi has said that maybe he'd be off if they didn't get the Champions League. Relegation tight down at the bottom as well, Andy, just above the relegation zone.
Yes, it really is. And poor Clotone. I feel that some of the results they've pulled out. I mean, they've got this draw against Lazio. They've got a draw against Juventus, which was the original result that really let Napoli back into the title race before that game that they played in Turin. Benevento still picking up points, despite the fact that they've been gone for absolutely ages. I mean, another win for them today. But you look at the bottom of the table, and at the moment, of course, you've got Benevento and Verona already gone. Then Crotone, third bottom, 35. Spal, 35, fourth bottom, and above them on head-to-head. Cagliari, 36. Udinese, they've just changed coach, 37. And Chievo, 37.
That's ridiculous down there.
I don't know. Are the bottom seven absolutely equally hopeless or are they equally brilliant? They did all invest a lot in the January transfer window to try and stay up, and you've got a more egalitarian pie sharing model in terms of TV money now, so that's encouraged them. And of course the teams in Serie A who are battling to get up to spend a little bit more to try and get in the top flight.
Mega quick star of the week, Italy.
For me, it has to be Sheik Diabate. Some Serie A team is going to pick him up, surely. He's made such a difference to Benevento, scored the winner against Genoa, and if they'd have got him a couple of months earlier, well, who knows? Maybe there'd have been another mix trying to stay up.
There's also a chance of Parma going up from Serie B as well.
Yeah, that's right. Empoli already sealed it. There's some big names in the mix. Frosinone, who were recently relegated, they're trying to come up as well. But people, especially people who watch Football Italia in the 90s, would be very excited about Parma coming up, wouldn't they?
We've got some great news on Neymar coming up as well. Mm. That's just broken on his future. Linked, of course, with a return to Spain and to join Real Madrid. We're going to talk about that very shortly in the show, because we're going to talk about all the strikers that are sort of doing the rounds at the moment and who might be available for your club or maybe not your club, or who might be leaving as well. Keep your tweets coming in. It's at TalkSport. We're looking for songs with drop or down in the title as well because of Hamburg's relegation this week, one which they didn't take too well. And we have our poll on Trans Europe Express at TalkSport on Twitter, who's the best player to have not won the Ballon d'Or.
On digital radio and 1089 and 1053 AM, Trans Europe Express on Talk Sport.
You're listening to Trans Europe Express on TalkSport. I'm Rob Daly, filling in for Danny Kelly this week. Andy Brassel alongside me. We still have an hour to go on the show and lots to get through. We're going to be talking about these strikers on the move this summer. We're talking Griezmann, we're talking Morata, we're talking much more. We have your cult hero. We're going to let you know what's happening in Turkey, where Arda Turan has been given a 16-match ban. What on earth has he done? Andy's going to tell you in a moment. And to get in touch with us as well, it is at TalkSport on Twitter. You can text us 81089. And we have our poll as well, Andy, of course. Who is the best player not to have won the Ballon d'Or? We have this on Twitter, at TalkSport. Currently, Andres Iniesta leading, 39%. Paolo Maldini, 19%. Xavi, 11%. Thierry Henry, 31%. How are you feeling about this at the moment? You upset?
Well, I'm still upset that I couldn't get Balotelli, Ben Arfa or Barry Fuller on the list, but apart from that,
well, some of the listeners aren't happy either. Steve McVeigh says on Twitter, a lack of appreciation of a defender who has few peers, second only to Baresi. Maldini, the Sky Generation voting. Aaron says, bang on, Steve, Maldini was colossal. Blueboy 95 as well, honestly amazed how many people think Iniesta is better than Xavi, both absolutely otherworldly, just to be clear, but the disparity is weird. Keep them coming in.
I agree with you, Blue.
Our listeners are wise. They're wise listeners on here. And we've got lots to get through over the course of the next hour. We have a great cult hero coming up as well. But we're talking strikers, Andy. Bit of fun this now, because we're also going to look at the managerial merry-go-round.
Yeah.
I think the catchy name for this feature was Summer Striker Movements, which doesn't even a pun. It's not anything. I'm not very happy. And there's no production, which I'm always complaining about. There's not enough production on there. But we're talking about all the strikers on the move.
It's going to be fun unless you're a team that currently has one of these strikers and they're about to walk out on you and break your heart.
Okay, well, let's talk about the first domino in all this, really. And I think Antoine Griezmann might be that man. Now, obviously, for a long time linked with Manchester United, and even last summer, there was a point where he said on French TV there was a 70% chance of him going to Old Trafford. But now, Barcelona... I mean, how certain are you he's going to Barcelona, Andy?
Yeah, I think it's...
It's done, you think?
It's very, very likely. It's never completely done when it's Barcelona getting a player. Because, like we were saying earlier, the whole circus upstairs, it might have quietened down, but it's not completely gone away. I don't think Barcelona are going to do business any more smoothly than they have done in the last little while.
You can't sign a player from a rival and it be all nicey-nicey if it's a buyout, because they don't want to lose him ultimately.
Maybe.
Can you do an amicable deal in that scenario?
Yes.
Because he's got, what, €100 million buyout?
Yeah, which is effective for a certain length of time. Which, really, if they're sensible, if they're polite, there is a way...
If they wear their Sunday best.
There is a way of getting it done. Because if you go back to, say, when Real Madrid signed Sergio Ramos from Sevilla, for example, that was for the buyout fee. But because they fostered a good relationship with Sevilla, they got it done and saved themselves a lot of tax that you have to pay when it's a hostile buyout. And it worked out really well. And this was a very tense period as well. I mean, they signed Sergio Ramos right on deadline. So Sevilla were left without a replacement. I mean, in the end, what they did is, because they said it was a buyout, we had no choice, they got themselves 4 days extra grace and they ended up signing Dragutinovic, who was a great player for them, in between copping a right-hander from Luis Felipe Scolari, of course, in that World Cup qualifier. But, I mean... So there is a way of doing it, but basically by just annoying them, by being
it's
so indiscreet about it.
The same old stuff with Barcelona. They talk in public about players, and I suppose the players get asked, don't they? Wasn't it Luis Suarez who talked about Griezmann?
Well, you can't control the players. If the players
you
are going to,
you'd say, don't, just shut up.
It would be better if they didn't. But the club has got to be more authoritative over this. And yeah,
Do the club want them to say this stuff, right?
I think you're right,
Fabregas, actually. Coutinho, do they want their players to secretly drip-feed this stuff?
Does it make the deals any easier? No. It makes them much, much
harder. But doesn't it make the person on the other side of the deal, so Griezmann, really push it through? No? Kick up a bit of a stink?
No, I think he's got a good relationship with Atletico. I think... they've both reached the point where they feel they're happy for them to move on. I mean, something I was talking about during the week in the pre Europa League final press conference. Sorry, it was brilliant because you had Diego Costa being asked about it, as every Atletico player was asked about it.
Sure.
I mean, Gabby had a face like thunder. It's like, we're here to talk about the final. Whereas they asked Diego Costa, no word of a lie, says, well, it's Antoine's future, but if he leaves, he can't come back.
Diego Costa said that. He doesn't see the irony.
Diego Costa said that with Felipe Luis sat next to him. It's incredible.
So look, we will get on to other strikes, but quick, why is no Premier League club coming in for Griezmann?
He doesn't really want to come to
England. He just wants to go to Barcelona.
This is a man who once told me that he speaks to his cat in Spanish. I mean, if that doesn't show how assimilated he is to life in a country where, of course, if you include the Basque country...
I think that means something's wrong. Why is he chatting to his cat?
In Spanish?
Yeah.
Well, everyone chats to their cat. But anyway, the point is, he's someone who's been there since he's, 14, nearly 15 years old. And his partner's Spanish, his daughter's Spanish, basically, he doesn't want to come.
He doesn't
want to
come to West Brom. Okay, fair enough. we got to talk about Neymar in this section as well, because he has been linked with Real Madrid, not strictly a striker, but a forward nonetheless. But he was pictured in the new Paris Saint-Germain kit this week, which got people saying, oh, he must be staying.
I don't think they dared put Thomas Meunier in it after recent ructions with
Very
the ultras.
But with Neymar, he's won an award tonight, isn't he? Right, and said a couple of things about his future.
He's won the Players Player of the Year at the Players Union Gala, the Trophée UNFP, and he's been talking afterwards. He was given the prize by Ronaldo, actually. His compatriot, which was quite nice. And then he was interviewed on stage, and these quotes have been relayed by the excellent Jonathan Johnson at John_LeGossip on Twitter. And he says, each transfer window is the same things. Personally, it's not a moment for me to speak about anything. Everyone knows what I came here to do and my objectives, which suggests he's not finished. My goal now is to make the World Cup and not speak about making or not making transfers. My whole life, each transfer window, it's talked about and it gets a bit annoying.
Yeah, but he did move in the last transfer window. There was a reason everyone talked about. All right, let's not get down that rabbit hole. But nonetheless, so on the move potentially.
I think he'll stay, and I've always thought he'll stay.
Stay this summer?
Yeah.
Okay. Should we do a bit quick fire? Sergio Aguero to Atletico. Pep Guardiola says he doesn't think that would happen.
No, I think financially it's very, very hard to make happen.
Okay. Mauro Icardi, certainly if Inter don't get the Champions League, could you see a Premier League coming in for the Argentine who scores basically every game, roughly?
Yeah, and he's improved his all-round game as well, which I think is pretty special. He needs to play Champions League football. I wouldn't be surprised for it to be Real Madrid, because, of course, they seem to have gone cold on Robert Lewandowski.
They certainly do. We'll get on to Lewandowski in a minute. So Atletico get €100 million for Griezmann, whatever way we look at it. So,
and much like if I won the lottery, they would spend it all in an afternoon.
So who do they go? Do you think Aguero would actually be their preferred choice? Do you think they'd want Aguero with Diego Costa particularly?
Well,
or are there other guys out there that you think they're
I think that would fit, absolutely. Funnily enough, I think Icardi would be really good for them. Of course, one that was floated that has since been rebuffed by the player, Edinson Cavani. Now, Cavani...
One of the hardest working players around, I could see that.
Yeah, he'd probably be the first player at Atletico where Diego Simeone said, could you run less, please?
Absolutely right.
Because, of course, people talk about Cavani as a really flaky finisher, despite his incredible record. Well, you try running 100 metres and then clearing your head to take a shot.
Do you see him leaving PSG, Cavani?
No, I think he's very, very
Andy,
unlikely.
We're not moving anyone here. This is pointless. Lewandowski,
I'd
is he going?
I'd make an agent. I'd be all about the contract extensions.
So Real Madrid have gone cold on Lewandowski, maybe because he didn't do much in that Champions League tie as well.
No, it didn't help. And he's working on a reputation as a celebrity piece of work, isn't he? Having generally been seen as the ultimate professional, especially for that last year at Dortmund.
He does all those nice handshakes with players he likes. Well, what's he doing? What's he doing that's ups? Why would clubs maybe be hesitant about signing?
I think maybe they've seen him next to Sandro Wagner and think, oh, that's the guy for me. That's the guy for
me.
Come
on. Sandro Wagner thinks that too.
Yeah, he definitely does.
But so Robert Lewandowski, he's still scoring. Basically, he won the top scoring award in Germany again at the weekend.
I think you have to bear in mind, Bayern's complete intransigence. And there are very few clubs in the world who you can't force to sell. If you're a giant
100 million
club,
euros, are you getting him?
I'd sell him for that price, but I'm not sure Bayern will. The thing is, he's very, very difficult to replace, especially at the sort of money that Bayern pay for transfers.
Yeah, that's an issue we're going to get onto as well.
Bear in mind, their record signing is still Corentin Tolisso, €43.5 million.
So could you get... So Timo Werner, who will probably start up front for Germany at the World Cup, who to me looks like a Bayern player, could they not get him for... I don't know how much he'd... I mean... Liverpool having to pay, £60 million.
They're going to have to break their transfer record. If they're in a position where they have to sell Lewandowski, or they decide they want to sell Lewandowski, they have to break their transfer record. I'm sure Werner will move this summer. Of course, Real Madrid have kept an interest in him for a bit, although I don't think there's really the sense that he's a frontline target of theirs. He's someone who would fit very, very well into what they do, of course. I mean, they're a team that for years and years and years now have been primarily counter-attacking. That's changed a little bit under Zinedine Zidane, but it's still what they like to do in Europe. I think Werner would be great for them.
Is a striker not a priority for Real Madrid right now because of what Ronaldo's doing as a centre forward.
He needs someone to work around him. And, you know, there's
and
a
Benzema's
sense,
not the guy anymore.
There's,
is he,
there's a sense that Benzema's coming to the end. But, you know, at Real Madrid, push is going to meet shove at some point. Because the way that Zidane doesn't just pride stability, but he very, like, openly, and we don't think of him as the most expressive bloke. He doesn't really talk about tactics, so loads of people say, oh, well, he's probably just making it up as he goes along. And he doesn't get the credit he deserves because he doesn't sort of create that myth around himself. But on the other hand, one thing he is very front foot on is the fact that he says, Bale and Benzema are my guys. I want to keep them. I don't want anyone to leave. And, like, imagine coming out and saying that if Florentino Perez is your president.
Yeah, but he doesn't mean that, does he? He doesn't care if Bale's there next season, does he?
I think he'd like him to stay.
Yeah, but
I mean, ideally, you'd like to keep everyone, wouldn't you?
Yeah, you'd like James still, and it's impossible to have all these guys.
Yeah.
So Benzema's next move then. I think we're starting deals done here.
I think Benzema in the Premier League makes really
good
sense. Not Italy?
You'd prefer the Premier League?
No, I think he'd do very well in the Premier League. I think you look at his technical quality and the fact that he's bigger and stronger than people think he is. He's improved in the air over the last year or two. I think he's someone who would really clean up for a good club here.
You give me a club, Karim Benzema with Chelsea. I mean, Chelsea most likely. I mean, the talk this week as well that Juve want to re-sign Alvaro Morata.
Yeah.
And you know, I could. There's not really a centre forward spot at the moment.
Chelsea would do very well out of Benzema. Very well.
You think so?
I think the thing is though, you have to look at Chelsea's financial model. And they're not really that keen on spending a loan. Now, bear in mind, Real Madrid, even when they're quite open about the fact they're done with the player, they still manage to extract good value for them,
yeah,
don't they?
Do,
you look
yeah.
at Ozil, you look at Di Maria, they're the obvious ones. Morata, of course.
Sure. Another one, Mariano, who's playing at Lyon now. Mm. You think he could go back to Real Madrid as... He wouldn't be first choice there, surely. He'd be some kind of backup.
I think he could live with that, as long as he gets some games. I mean, you're looking at a guy who'd not started a game... or not played a minute of football in a top any of the top two divisions in Europe before this season.
Yeah,
you know, he played some copper matches for Real Madrid here and there, and for the B team Castilla. And now you look at him; he's got 20 goals for the season. Been a first choice at, you know, one of like the most exciting teams in Europe in Lyon, and what he's got that they really could have done with this season, especially when Cristiano Ronaldo and Benzema were having that dry spell in autumn, is a player who just, when he gets the ball, his only thought is to score a goal. He's not interested in passing it or any of that stuff. He'll just have a shot.
That's all right, though.
And they've really needed that. That off the bench, I think, would be really, really handy for them.
Okay, and we didn't even get to mention Harry Kane's move to Real Madrid, Danny Kelly. So we'll try and do that for you later on.
Him and Mariano are going to be playing golf tomorrow.
We didn't even talk about Batshuayi going to Dortmund, which you don't think is going to happen.
No, I don't, because he's too expensive and there's not unanimous feeling that he's the guy for
okay.
them.
Okay, still plenty to come on the Trans-Europe Express with me, Rob Daly, and Andy Brassel. But up next, it's this week's cult hero. This one gets a big thumbs up from Andy Brassel. We're looking for songs with drop or down in the title after Hamburg's relegation. This is Milo, Drop the Pressure.
I don't think I've ever enjoyed a cup of tea to this song before.
I think they go together very nicely.
They do.
Indeed. Thanks to everyone for sending those in at TalkSport on Twitter. You can text us as well, 81089. But now it's time for this.
Incredible! Incredible Zlatan Ibrahimovic!
Ronaldo! That's magnificent!
Get it back up! Get it back up! Get it back up!
Always wanted to cue into that sting. It is time for the cult hero this week on Trans-Europe Express. Andy Brassel alongside me, Rob Daly. Andy, our cult hero this week is a man called Gökdeniz Karadeniz. Now, most people probably, I'm presuming here, probably haven't heard of the former Turkey international.
Can I go out on a limb and say
please.
That he's possibly the best player in the history of the game to have worn the number 61 shirt.
I'll give you that.
That is what they would
in
call
football,
that is what they would call in France his fetish number, because 61 is the area code for Trabzon, which is where he made his name at Trabzon.
Is that true? I didn't know that.
Yeah.
So let's go through. So he's 38 years of age now, and I covered a lot of Russian football and saw a lot of I've seen a lot of Gukdenits Karadenits over the past few years. A sort of squatty little guy, right? I mean, he's a bit square shaped, but very quick, very hard working, very direct. Knows his way to goal, and once he gets a relationship with a place or an area, like he has done in Kazan with Rubin Kazan, he seems to build like quite a special bond, and that sort of ties in with your number thing, I suppose, a little bit.
Yeah, that's right. He's this two club man who played 300 plus games for Trabzonspor. He had this great relationship with Fatih Tekke, who never really went on to do it when he went to Russia, because he had that quite unsuccessful spell at Zenit, didn't he? And then he went on to play, 300 plus games for Rubin.
As a winger who didn't look quick, but was quick. Do you know what I mean? Even when he got older, he still had his pace.
No, he's not skinny, is he? He's quite barrel-chested. He doesn't look He doesn't look as if he should be quick, does he?
People are Googling him now and thinking, what does this guy look like? He does look quite normal, which is taking him apart. But very good player. And one, Andy, who in Russia, because people know, CSKA Moscow win the title, Spartak win the title, Zenit win the title. They know this in Russia. But Rubin Kazan, there was a time when they enjoyed a couple of successes and he was central to that.
Yeah, I mean, they only came up in 2003, and he won the title with them in 2008 and 2009, which is really an incredible effort. Of course, a lot of that was the coaching of Kurban Budiev, and really, Budiev was his muse, or Gukdenits was his muse, whichever way you want to look at it. But they were vital to each other, and along with other players, like, I suppose, Cesar Navas and Christian Noboa, players like that. But they did some extraordinary things in those years, and to think that they were just really a provincial club. I mean, he has been given the freedom of Tatarstan, hasn't he? The region of which Kazan is
the
capital.
The freedom of Tatarstan.
You're going to have to work pretty hard this summer if you're going to get there.
I'm going to have to play 10 seasons for Rubin Kazan. So I think he's even got a Rubin Kazan tattoo now, I think, as well, Gukdenits Karadenits. And he's been part of some very famous results. There's one I'm going to talk about in a moment at Atletico. But was he part of the team that won at Barcelona in the Champions League all those years
ago? He scored in both of those games. He scored the winner against Barca at the Camp Nou, who were the holders then, in 2009. I mean, everyone remembers that Alexander Riazantsev opener in the first minute.
Yeah, Google that if you can't remember.
This rocket shot from absolutely miles out. Ibrahimovic equalised, and then Gukdenits scored the winner. It's a beautiful finish. A lovely little counter-attack, and he slips it in the corner past Victor Valdez. And then later, they went on to knock Atletico out of the Europa League when Atletico were the holders. You know, this was a team with Falcao in it. So this would have been, 2013, I suppose?
2012, 2013. Can I tell you, I commentated on that first leg.
Oh, did you?
So Atletico were 1-0 down at home in the first leg. And for some reason, with another leg to go, Simeone sent his goalkeeper forward for a corner. I forget who was the keeper at the time. And then Rubin Kazan scored at the other end. And then Atletico won the second leg 1-0, but went out because of that goal where Simeone needlessly sent his goalkeeper up at the end of the first leg.
Yeah, ridiculous.
So Gukdenits Karadenits.
And there was this huge tribute to him this week, of course, because he retired from football.
Yeah, 38. Decent stint. Mm. And a title winner with Rubin Kazan.
Twice. I mean, the thing is, when you talk about them winning it in successive years, people talk about Dortmund winning it in successive years in 2011 and 2012, feeling like it was from a different lifetime. I mean, this feels like it's from a different lifetime because, of course, Rubin have been bitten, like a lot of Russian clubs, by a financial crisis since. You know, you look at the players they've let go that have been picked up by other clubs, like Alexson, Yanin Vila, who started rebuilding. But he stayed there the whole time. You know, that would have been too much letting him go. And, you know, he's taken massive deferrals on wages in this last year. He's played more of a squad role as well. They've used him off the bench a little bit more this season because the legs don't have quite what they used to, those little scurrying legs. But you see the reception for him when he announced before the home game this week, I think it was against Tosno, that it was going to be his last, Ufa, in fact, that it was going to be his last game. And the appreciation was so much. He gave a speech on the pitch and was moved to tears. I think he took this deal when he moved to Rubin Kazan because he felt that it was the best thing for Trabzonspor, which is why their fans, big part of the reason why their fans still love him. But in fact, having taken it for a quite altruistic reason, it ended up working out brilliantly for him. So nice guys do win sometimes.
That is your cult hero this week, Gök Deniz Karadeniz.
Incredible! Incredible Zlatan Ibrahimovic!
Ronaldo!
Okay, plenty more to come on the Trans Europe Express on TalkSport this evening. And of course, every week on the show, Britain's leading travel expert, Simon Calder, has been taking us around the various venues for the upcoming World Cup in Russia. All games, of course, live on the TalkSport network. And this week, he's looking at Rostov.
Stadion. Stadium.
45,000 people will fill the Rostov-on-Don Arena, which has been completed despite hold-ups caused by the discovery of Second World War unexploded bombs. And if the fans find the game dull, then there's a treat on offer. The varying heights of the stands allow spectators to savour not only what is happening on the pitch, but also to enjoy views of Rostov-on-Don. Or they could just look at the roof, which imitates the meanderings of the Don River. Yes, just like Doncaster Rovers, FC Rostov play in the stadium beside the River Don. But it's a different river. The Russian version is over 1,200 miles long, and Rostov-on-Don has more than 1 million people, making it slightly mightier than Doncaster. There's even a shared interest in horse racing, though there's no classics in Rostov to match the St. Ledger in Doncaster.
Matchy, которые нужно посмотреть. Matches to see.
We'll see 5 matches all together in Rostov-on-Don, starting on the 17th of June, Brazil against Switzerland. The 20th of June, Uruguay, Saudi Arabia. 23rd of June, South Korea against Mexico. And then, interesting to see on the 26th of June, how much interest is left in this one, Iceland, Croatia in Group D. And finally, there's a round of 16 game on the 2nd of July.
Rating путешествий Talksporta. TalkSport Travel Rating.
Travel tips for Rostov on Don. Well, it's all about entertainment, really, I think. You can go and have a walk up and down Pushkin Street. You can enjoy the October Revolution Park. And after dark, the Don Riverside is lined with bars and fast food takeaways. And you could even take a party boat on the river. That's something you can't do in Doncaster. And after all that, then the Kraft Bar is said to be the best in town. There's 5 house brews. There's 2 varieties of Medovka, which is honey ale. And you can even get homemade cider. I wouldn't advise it. The Ukrainian border is a short way west, but it's not a frontier you can cross anytime soon. And while it's going to be tricky to find somewhere in town, the Lonely Planet guide recommends staying in the airport hotel some way outside. When a guidebook says stay at the airport hotel, you know that the city may not be the most exciting one you've ever been to. And the TalkSport travel rating out of 5 is just 2.
Craig David featuring Big Nasty. When the bass line drops, we're looking for songs with drop or down in the title. Pat's laughing at me. Did I say the title of the song wrong? Was it just the way I said it? It's the way I said it. He's cracked up through the glass. And yeah, I'm not a very cool guy. That's the issue. No, say something. Don't leave me.
Do you know what? I don't think it's made Hamburg feel any worse.
No, that's very true. We're looking for songs with drop or down in the title because of their relegation. Keep them coming in. It's at TalkSport on Twitter or text us 81089. We have our poll as well on Twitter. The best player to have not won the Ballon d'Or. Iniesta still ahead. The likes of Maldini, Xavi, narrowly ahead of Thierry Henry. Where are the Arsenal fans backing Thierry Henry, who I did vote for?
I reckon they're probably still out in the town in Huddersfield.
They probably
That's
are.
My guess.
So, get involved in that at TalkSport on Twitter. We might have some Max Allegri news for Arsenal fans as well in the next section. In the next section.
I can't hold my breath for 11 and a half minutes.
We've got too many things to talk about. We need to talk about... Do you want to start in Russia in the section, Andy? This is where we go through the... other leagues.
I feel like we should have some mournful tone because we've had the exit, and Zenit St. Petersburg are heartbroken to announce the exit.
Are they heartbroken?
Roberto Mancini. Oh no. I think they're delighted that they're going to be getting a nice chunk of compensation from the Italian FA from. For a coach that they were going to have to sack and pay up.
Yeah, they even their statement said, we don't have to pay him anything. They put that in basically in the statement, I think, with Roberto Mancini leaving Zenit.
That was clear what they were leaving it till the end of the season, because if they fired him mid-season, it was going to cost them a lot of money.
Yeah, so Zenit fifth and you know, not in the Champions League.
I'll tell you what, that is one heck of a present to your successor, isn't it? Cheerio. Coffee's in the cupboard. Oh, by the way, you're in the third qualifying round of the Europa League, despite having the biggest budget in Russia by an absolute mile.
Absolutely right. So Mancini headed for the Italy job, you think, Andy? This looks done and dusted, does it?
Yes, it does.
Yeah, so not Claudio Ranieri, who I think you wanted to get the job.
Yeah, I think it would have been quite nice. Of course, he's still not officially confirmed to be leaving Nantes at the end of the season. I mean, it depends how many more leaks there are in his London flat, of course.
Of course. So Lokomotiv had already wrapped up the title. Tosno had won the Russian Cup as well, I think, from memory, in the week. And I think that means that they go straight into the Europa League group stage as well.
No, they can't, because they didn't get their financial documents in time.
No, get your documents in, Tosno. I've always said that.
And interestingly, FC Ufa, who beat them 5-0 yesterday, they will be taking their place in Europe instead as the sixth place team. Dear. Yeah.
All right. Okay, let's move off Russia. Let's go to Belgium. So things looking like this at the moment. This is done and dusted, the title race, Andy.
Yeah, Club Brugge won it today by going to Standard Liège and getting a draw. They started the game absolutely terribly. They were 1-0 down in 10 minutes. They were being absolutely hammered for most of that first half. But they got themselves an equaliser and held out in the end. Standard, who've been the best team in the playoff by a mile. They've been so exciting. In the end, Club Brugge's lead from the regular season was too much. And with a game to go, at least Standard have got themselves in a position to qualify for the Champions League. Again, they would have to go through qualifiers. But the second place ahead of Anderlecht, the champions, which is where they are at the moment. Basically, a win on the final day for Standard against Charleroi, who've been absolutely awful in the whipping boys of the playoffs, will make sure that Ricardo Sapinto's side will get in the Champions League preliminaries. And he is great fun. I would love to see him in the preliminaries of the Champions League. Of course, you think Heiko Herrlich of Leverkusen is the only... coach who's been sanctioned for diving on the touchline this season.
Oh, that was brilliant.
Sapinto did it as well. Of course, the thing is with Sapinto is it was far less believable, because you're talking about a bloke who, when he was a player, A, laid out his national team coach, and B, when he was coach of Sporting, laid out his star striker, Lee Edson.
I love you remember all this stuff as well, Andy. So that's Belgium done. Let's do Greece, the Cup, the Greek Cup. Which has been a major talking point in the country in recent times as well, Andy.
Yeah, I mean, really, it was more what went around it. And there were various clashes with police and all sorts of various stuff that we tend to see off the pitch in Greece. But some sort of redemption for PAOK, who, of course, lost the title in quite unusual circumstances after their owner, Ivan Savidis, invaded the pitch.
We were on air on this show when that happened.
Yeah.
It was mad.
And... anyway, they stopped Ake from getting the Dublin and they won the Greek Cup with a 2-0 victory.
Portugal, Andy, a country close to your heart.
Yes, and FC Porto, of course, celebrating by winning at Guimarães. A little trip from Porto, that, and one of the most atmospheric stadiums in the country. And their 1-0 victory with Ivan Marcano, their very reliable centre-back, scoring the winner, means that they've equaled Benfica's points record for a 34-game season. They've got 88
very
points.
Very impressive. We're going to talk about their head coach as well in the next section, I think, Sergio Conceição.
And so we should. He's fantastic. Two other coaches that we'll end up talking about, I'm sure, are Rui Vitória of Benfica and Jorge Jesus of Sporting. Bad, bad day for Jesus. We say that you should always beware a trip to Madeira. That is where the hopes of title pretendants falls apart. Well, of course, neither Benfica or Sporting could get to the title, with Porto having already wrapped it up. Sporting, though, went into the last day of the season in second place, set to qualify for the Champions League, because, of course, it's only the top two in Portugal who get there now. Sporting lost against Marítimo, who have nothing to play for, and Benfica, who won 1-0 against Moreirense, who just about stayed up despite that defeat. Means that Benfica and not Sporting will be going into the Champions League, and that makes an enormous difference to their budget. Of course, we should talk a bit about the bottom of the table as well, because you had 3 points between the bottom five going into the final day. No one was definitely relegated. Well, Estoril and Passos de Ferreira, who Paulo Fonseca took into the Champions League preliminaries a couple of years ago, they were relegated too.
Okay, so done and dusted in the Portuguese top flight. Let's do Turkey. Let's do Arda Turan. So Arda Turan has been given a 16-match ban. He plays for Istanbul, Beşiktaş, on a 2.5-year loan from Barcelona. Something like that, isn't it? And he got very angry and pushed an assistant referee in the chest.
Yes. And
16 matches.
Yeah, it does seem a little harsh.
Half a season.
But on the other hand, it's something that's a real headache for Barcelona, because Beşiktaş don't really want to keep him. They would like to sell him in the summer. How can you sell a bloke who's banned till November, as well as one who really hasn't shown great form since he's been in Turkey? And do you know what? They were just fine without him, because they went and won 2-0 at Antalyaspor this weekend, and they're still just about in the mix for the title. But it will take an implosion from Galatasaray on the final day, because Galatasaray beat Malatyaspor 2-0. It means Galatasaray need one more point to win their first title since 2013. The other big story is the fact that Beşiktaş go into the final game of the season needing a slip-up from Beşiktaş if they're going to get back in the Champions League. Now, Beşiktaş are the best team in Turkey. There's no doubt about it. Or at least they were, until they sold Cenk Tosun at Christmas and replaced him with 78-year-old Wagner Love, who did score in their win today. Osmanlıspor, the winner, we have to say that, as they came back from 2-1 down. But if Beşiktaş don't get into the Champions League, that for them will be an enormous letdown, because they're trying to build their globalness.
Yeah, they absolutely are. And we have to go to Ukraine finally. Shakhtar Donetsk champions, another double for Paulo Fonseca.
Yeah, that's right. A really tremendous effort from them. Of course, they're still technically homeless. They've been playing in Kharkiv this season instead of Lviv. Fonseca has done a brilliant job, and it's no wonder that people see him linked with a lot of top jobs.
Everton, Arsenal were the main ones in the Premier League he's been linked with.
And quite rightly. Yeah. And quite rightly. Interestingly, we'll come to who might be his replacement in a little bit if he does leave Shakhtar, because, of course, we're going to talk about coaches in a bit. You saw Shakhtar in the week, Rob, win the Ukrainian Cup final
against Dynamo Kiev,
the Ukrainian Classico.
That's right, and they won it by 2-0, very comfortable. Possibly, you know, we've seen Fred was very impressive in the central midfield, who might be moving to the Premier League, as well as other players in that side. There's a lot of players linked. But what was interesting was that the captaincy was Tyson, Darius Serna out with this drugs ban at the moment. Mm. And they were desperately trying to get Darius Serna down from the stands to lift the trophy. And he said, no, you have to do it. So
he's probably got sore arms. He's lifted a lot of trophies there over the years.
So Tyson wore a Serna shirt instead, and everyone was crying. Wonderful. It was all very nice. Okay, so that is all the other leagues. Next on TalkSport on Trans Europe Express, we're talking about the managerial merry-go-round in Europe. Get down, beep. Take me down deeper, down deeper. Take me down deeper. Get down deeper. Take me down deeper. Down deeper. Take me down deeper. Get down deeper. This was a listener request. Thousand Fingers Down. We're looking for songs with down or drop in the title because of Hamburg's relegation. You are listening to Trans Europe Express on Talk Sport.
What a relief we've not had status quo.
Oh, yeah.
Phew.
Next time. At TalkSport, tweet us and text us 81089. Andy, final part of the show, you ready?
I'm ready.
Do you want to get on board the managerial merry-go-round? We don't have a catchy name for this.
I've got my sea legs, come on.
Okay, so we've got a lot of managers who are going to be available, a lot of jobs up for grabs. We think in England, Chelsea and Arsenal certainly have the top six clubs. So, first of all, we've had news from Max Allegri this evening, who's been heavily linked with the Arsenal job. Mm. He's been quoted on beIN Sports. He said he will be at Juventus next year. He says, if they don't sack me, which they're not going to do. They really want to sack him. So Allegri's not on the market.
But also, can we not throw off, because that would be a bit violent, but help off Thomas Tuchel.
Why? Where are we putting him?
Paris Saint-Germain.
Is that nailed on, do you think?
Yeah, everyone knows that's been the case. It's been agreed for a number of weeks. And interestingly, we talked about Neymar speaking out at the UNFP Awards. All the players have been having their say on Thomas Tuchel. Like Thiago Silva, for example, said, we don't know anything about Thomas Tuchel or if he's been confirmed yet. But if he was, and then went into a huge list of reasons why he fit Paris Saint-Germain perfectly.
Oh, so the players want Thomas Tuchel then, do they?
They know he's coming. They know he's coming.
Well, you've got to say nice things.
Because otherwise, you don't come out and say, well, you know, we don't know if he's coming or not. But the reasons I think he would be a good appointment is because he fits our style of football. He's a young guy. He's dynamic. He's got great tactical ideas.
He's won one cup. Is that right? He's won the DFB, the German Cup. Is that it?
Yeah, that's right. Against Eintracht Frankfurt. I think it's not a bit of a punt, and not least because what undercut him at Dortmund, there was no complaint about his coaching, about his tactical know-how, but his relations with people.
Absolutely.
Funnily enough, Arsene Wenger could be really useful because, of course, we know that Paris Saint-Germain have got interest in him as a general manager type, and this doesn't just go for the Qatari era. It goes all the way back to when Canal Plus had them in the mid-90s. They were interested in Wenger then. And he's maintained this great relationship with the club. Not just the current ownership, although, of course, you know, it's Nasser Al-Khelaifi, the president, from his relationship with beIN Sport, the broadcaster that has this major stake in Paris Saint-Germain. I think having him as a buffer between not just Tuchel and the board, but Tuchel and some high-profile players.
Wenger's not going to do. He's already said, isn't he, that he wants to be coaching, doesn't he?
Well, he's not done any coaching for the last 5 years. So, let's be real. I think he'd suit that very well.
Okay.
He'd suit that very well.
Okay, let's go to Maurizio Sarri of Napoli, who could be on his way out as well. Interesting quotes actually about the title race from him this evening as well, about Napoli and why they lost it to Juve.
Yeah, that's right. He said, my one regret was that we lost the Scudetto in the hotel and not on the field. Of course, talking about the fact that they were in the hotel before they played Fiorentina, watching Inter take a 2-1 lead against Juventus.
It's quite an
and
honest
then chuck
sentiment,
it in the last couple of
to
minutes.
Say that, just
he's a bit too honest sometimes, almost, isn't he? I mean, the trouble I have with Sarri, you've got all these links connecting him to Premier League clubs. We're talking about a man in his late 50s who's very much of his time, I think it's fair to say, socially. And he's never coached outside Italy.
Yeah, I think, if he came over here, that some of the quotes from him down the years would be brought up immediately. Yeah. And he's been linked with the Chelsea job as well, hasn't
Napoli's,
he? He doesn't suit Chelsea.
They're very cosmopolitan. Yeah. He doesn't suit Chelsea at all. I mean, you know, we're talking about Napoli being the biggest job he's had by an absolute mile. I mean, ideally, if he could stay and prolong the affair with Napoli, and of course he was born in Napoli, it would be a wonderful thing. If not, I wonder if Monaco might work quite well for him. Of course, there was talk a little while back that he'd been actually offered a contract by Monaco. Of course, Leonardo Jardim is still in charge there.
So where's he going? Because I think a lot of Arsenal fans were thinking maybe he'd be the man to take it over, but he's not in the odds right now, really.
Which is strange, because he makes perfect sense for either
the brand
Arsenal
of football,
or
right?
Chelsea.
I mean, the brand of football is what you want.
Well, yeah, but the great thing about Jardim is it's not just one brand of football. He's adaptable and pragmatic enough to go with what the players he had.
Well, Monaco were defensively good before that thrilling year. Would that be fair to say? Before the year where we discovered Mbappe, where Benjamin Mendy was...
The first year, though, very defensive.
Very defensive,
And then he built a completely different team from there. That is why Jardim is so good, because he builds and rebuilds teams. A bit like Max Allegri does, and that's why he's in demand so much. And both Chelsea and Arsenal were in that position, aren't they?
Conceição and Fonseca linked with Everton. Can you see either of those? Conceição at Porto, Fonseca at Shakhtar right now.
I still think Conceição will stay with Porto next year. They're going to aim to give him a pay rise and an extended contract. Interestingly, Fonseca goes from Shakhtar. Conceição's been linked with a move there. Of course, they'd love a Portuguese-speaking coach. They've got 10, 12 Brazilians on the staff, so it makes sense for them. Fonseca is someone who, after having a failure at Porto, has come back so brilliantly from that. You think, a couple of weeks into the Shakhtar job, they got knocked out the third qualification round, the Champions League, and he was on the back foot already. And then he went on from there, got an unbeaten season in the league, and he's just nursed Shakhtar back to strength.
Dinamo Kiev were winning the league in Ukraine.
Yeah, and of course, because Shakhtar were homeless. Facing all sorts of difficulties. What he's done has been absolutely extraordinary, and I think he'd do a great job at Everton.
Andy, it's been an absolute pleasure, mate.
Likewise.
Good fun on Trans Europe Express. Time to reveal the answer, how our poll's gone, by the way. Who's the best player to have not won the Ballon d'Or? Iniesta has won it with 39% ahead of Henri, Maldini and Xavi as well. That's all we have time for on Trans Europe Express.
On digital radio and 1089 and 1053 AM, Danny Kelly's Trans Europe Express on Talk Sport. Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.